go ahead and find our place in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we will get a verse, and a familiar verse in 17, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17. We'll say a few things in regards to this passage here, and then we'll move over to Psalms 103, so find your place there. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. You know what the Bible says, all things are passed away. Behold, he says, now I want you to listen to this. All the bad stuff has gone away, your past life, all your bad habits. Sir, now listen to this. He says, all things are become new. And when we have a life that involves Jesus, when we have salvation, and we have God in our life, it is a personal relationship. We repent of all of our sins. We repent of all our the bad things that we've done in our, during our lifetime, and we give them over, and we say we're sorry to God. We say we're sorry to Jesus, that we ask for forgiveness, and He comes into our life. He comes into our heart. From there on, we become a new creature. We have a new direction. We have a new beginning, and that's what salvation brings. It's a new life, and I praise the Lord for my salvation. Can I tell you, I don't take my salvation for granted. I thank God every day for my salvation. Without God, I am nothing. Without God, I know that I'd be burning in a hell right now. And so I thank God for what He's done in my life. And I try not to take it for granted. And we try to live our life that satisfies the Lord. We try to live our life to glorify the Lord in everything we do. And, you know, we're not perfect and we make mistakes. And, you know, we fall short in those things. But we try with our very best to please the Lord, because we are a new creature in Christ. And I do encourage you to, as a child of God, you'll be in church and read your Bible and pray and give your tithes, get involved in missions and go out soul winning, get involved in these things, because that's what God wants us to do, and that's how He designed this whole thing of salvation. So the Bible says that if there be any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let us pray. Our Father, we love You. We thank You again for allowing us to gather together for this time. And we ask now that You would encourage us again. And Father, I pray that You would help me and encourage me and help me to be a voice, be a mouthpiece for You. And Lord, I pray, Father, that this would be a message that would be an encouragement. It would uplift someone. It would help them to realize what salvation brings. And Father, we do thank You for salvation. We thank You for what You've done in my life and what You've done through my family. And Father, how You've used me and how You want to use me. And Father, I pray that You would keep me humble. Father, I pray that You would help me to always glorify You. Lord, it's not what I've done, it's what You've done. And Lord, help us, Lord, always to acknowledge You and what You do, through our life. And Father, we ask that You be with this church. We be with all the ministries, we be with the pastor, all those in leadership, and we pray for this church, we pray for our families, and Lord, I pray that You would continue to use them, and Father, we love You, we thank You, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now find your place, if you will, to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, we've seen that a new life brings, salvation brings a new life, and salvation brings a new beginning, a new direction, and a new way of thinking. And in salvation is the most wonderful thing that one can possess. And without salvation, my life would not be what it is today. I would, I without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I would not be alive if it weren't for salvation. And you get saved, take it seriously, and don't take it for granted. And you know, we're here for a short time, and use what God has given you to glorify Him and serve Him and worship Him and follow Him and do all you can for Jesus Christ. Because you could you imagine what your life without God, you imagine what God took you out of and what where He brought you from. And always forget that God is the one who did that for you. We don't deserve that. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But yet God loves us that much that He did this for us. God loved us that much that He gave His life for you and I. And even though we were yet sinners, but yet He died for us. And so always remember what salvation, how I hope it means something to you. I hope it means something to you that you're able to tell others, you're able to tell your family, you're able to tell your coworkers and your neighbors and invite them to church and get them to church and get them to know who Jesus Christ is. And with salvation, there's some wonderful things that comes with salvation. Wonderful things. And we know we have everlasting life. Well, that's what it brings. It's everlasting. It never can end. We know that we have eternal security. We know that we cannot lose our salvation. We know that God is always going to be with us. And when we go off into eternity, that when one has Christ in their heart and in their life, we're going to be in heaven with Him. He prepared a place for us. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to fellowship with God. We're going to be in His choir. We're going to be with Him, fellowshipping with Him. And I'm looking forward to that day. But with salvation, there are some wonderful things, I think, that we often forget, that we often forget about, we overlook sometimes. And I'm not sure how many of you have employment, but I'm sure at your employment, you have what we call benefits. Maybe you might have a dental, you might have some vision, you might have some health care, you might have some vacation time, you may have a retirement plan, and you may have all these things, what we know as benefits. But when there are some benefits that come with salvation, and we're talking about tonight all His benefits. Look in Psalms 103. The Bible says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not," look at this, "all His benefits." Underline that puppy right there. Underline those words. Circle it. Highlight it. Do what you can. And remember, He has all His benefits. Look in verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who hath healed all thy diseases." When we become a new creature, when we become a child of God, He gives us benefits. And one benefit we want to look at tonight is this of forgiveness. Look in verse number 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." And verse 3, it starts off with who. Who's He talking about? It's talking about God. It's talking about Jesus. He says, in other words, God forgiveth all thine iniquities. And I like that. It says all. It didn't say some. It didn't say just last week or this morning. But it says all thine iniquities. He says, all of your sins that I've forgiven you. Everything we've done from the time of birth, even to the time that we are going to go off in eternity, God says, I'm forgiving you of all of your sins. And that is one benefit that we have as a child of God, is that of forgiveness. God has forgiven you of all of your sins. God has taken all the bad stuff that you and I has ever done. And can you trust me? I've done some awful things in my life, things that I'm not so proud of, things that I'm embarrassed about, things I would never say up here. But you know, can I tell you this? I can rest that night knowing that God forgave me of all those sins. One thing that God has given us, one of His benefits, is that of forgiveness. Oftentimes we ponder about the bad things we do. We worry about the stuff that we've done, the things that we say, the things that we've seen. That sometimes that bothers us. Sometimes we're not able to sleep at night. Sometimes we're not able to focus, right, because of the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin and it telling us that we're not supposed to be doing those things, or we're not supposed to be here, you're not supposed to be acting this way, and so forth. But one wonderful benefit we have as a child of God is that of forgiveness. It says that God forgiveth. And I like this. Look at this. All. He says all. So what does all mean? God forgives us all of our sins, our past, present, and future. It's all under the blood. Amen. He doesn't miss one. I like that. He doesn't miss one sin. The Bible says all. He doesn't miss any of our sins. And, you know, anything you've done this week, anything you're going to do, anything bad, can I tell you that God forgives you? And it doesn't make an excuse for us to do wrong. Well, I'm going to do this because God's going to forgive me anyway. That's not what it's talking about. We know we're sinners. We know we do wrong. But yet we ought to know that God forgives us of all of our sins. He cleanses us. He helps us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He convicts us of our sin. When we're in tune with God, it's easy to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's easy to listen to the Bible when God tells you, hey, you've done wrong in your life. What do? We confess our sins. What do? We tell God we're sorry. What do? We tell God for another chance and for another chance. And God is faithful when he says that he will forgive us of all of our sins. And then look verse number 10. He says, let's look in verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What a verse. You realize what you and I do, you realize the punishment for that. You realize the consequences of that. But the Bible says that he had not dealt with us after our sins. Now that's a very bold verse right there. In other words, that he loves us so much that he's not going to punish us like he's supposed to, if we will. Because he cares about us. Because he loves us. He loves you. And it says, nor reward us according to our iniquities. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So as far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord that we are forgiven, that we live a life. Salvation comes with forgiveness, that we're able to come to him. We're able to go to him and ask God for forgiveness. And I encourage you, when we do wrong, we ask God to forgive us. When we do wrong, we ask God to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our mind, to cleanse our soul. Ask God to forgive us. I mean, don't be so prideful and say, well, it's no one's business, or it's not God's business. This is my problem. This is my life. And I'll deal with it my own way, and I'll deal with it in my own time. And I pray that we won't have that kind of attitude, but we would come to him and asking God for forgiveness. Another benefit we have, if you will, look in verse number three. He says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities? We see that one benefit we have is forgiveness. And the second benefit we have is, who healeth all thy diseases. The Bible says that God healeth all our diseases. One thing that we do have is healing. God is able to heal. God is able to help us during our time of trouble. And it may be a physical healing. It may be a spiritual healing. But whatever it may be, God is able to do those things. And folks, can I encourage you by saying this, that no matter what we do in life, there are going to be times when we get spiritually sick. There are going to be times when we don't listen to the Bible. We read our Bible and we pray and we feel like God is not listening to our prayers. We feel like God is not hearing us. So we feel we're not getting anything from the Bible. We come to church and we try to listen. We try to do right. But there's always something that stirs up in our souls. There's always something that bothers us. It may be something that you're struggling with. It may be a financial storm. It may be a physical storm. It may be a mental storm. It may be a spiritual storm. It may be an emotional storm. Whatever the case may be, God is able to heal you of those things. God is able to heal you and pick you back up and say, hey, I'm here for you. God is able to encourage you. God is able to help you in your time of need. What do we need? We need faith. What do we need? We need to tell him. We need to ask him. And one thing that God has is this of healing. I like that. I sure praise the Lord for what he's done in my life. You know, we talked a little bit this morning about our little girl. I praise the Lord that he healed her. He healed her physically. Last summer, he healed her spiritually. At a VBS, she said, I need to get saved. I want God in my life. And God heard her. God heard and God saved her. I appreciate that. I love that. That God heals. You may feel like no one don't understand what you're going through. You may feel like no one don't quite understand what's going on in your life. People run to drugs. People run to alcohol. They run to sex. They run to casinos. They run to friends. They run to different things and different things here, different things there. But that problem always is going to be there. It's always going to be there. It's never going to go away until God gets a hold of that thing and God is able to heal you. No matter what you're going through in life, God is able to heal you. No matter what you go through, no matter what storm that you go through, God is able to heal you. You just got to trust God that he's able to do these things. Oftentimes we forget how powerful God is. We forget how real he is. We forget what he's done for you, what he's done for me. See, folks, God is able to heal. I praise the Lord for what he's done. Another benefit that we have is verse number 4. Look at this. It says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy?" We have a benefit of forgiveness. We have a benefit of healing. And then we have this benefit of redemption. Redemption means to regain, to buy back what was lost. You see, Jesus redeemed us from Satan. Jesus redeemed us. Go with me to Ephesians 1:7 with me really quick. Ephesians 1:7, let's look at a couple of scriptures this evening. And let's see what God says in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of the riches of his grace." Now go with me to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, look in verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give us his ransom," life, "to give his life a ransom for many." Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, look in verse 30. The Bible here says that, "But of him are we in Christ, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and the righteousness, and the sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." God has redeemed us from Satan. God has paid of all, has paid for all of our sins. He has made us free. He has made us free. He's given us liberty. I mean, the shackles are gone. The chains are gone. God gave us freedom. God gave us redemption. And I do believe there are a lot of people that don't believe that God has freedom. They still go to the same thing. They still they have no liberty in their life. They feel like there's that no one cares about them. But when we are saved, that we are free. He has made us free. Go back to Ephesians, if you will. Go with me to chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. The Bible here says, in chapter number 2, look in verse number 1. It says here that, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I like this. But God, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And so in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God redeemed us. Think about where you'd be if you were not saved. Hey, you think about your past life before you got saved. You think about the mess that you were in. You think about the lifestyle that you lived. You think of all the filth that came out of your mouth. Look at the places that you walked to. Look how you treated people, how you talked to people. But yet God came, he forgave us of all of these sins, and yet he gave us life. He gave us life more abundantly. That's what God gives us, salvation. Folks, we've live in a society that has forgotten about God. We really have. For a lot of Christians, God doesn't exist anymore. God's not real anymore. That God is just a myth. Oh, I remember those days. Oh, I remember what God used to do. Oh, I remember seeing this and I seen that. Folks, God is real. And God still wants to do something with you. God still wants to do something with this church. But my question, are you taking it seriously? Do you truly believe that God freed you? I believe there's a lot of things going on in this society today that causes us to think in the wrong way. We always think negativity. We always think that God is not strong enough. God is not big enough. God is not powerful enough. But yet our Bible tells us that we are made free. Think about where you would be if Christ had not saved you. We'd be burning in hell. We have everlasting life in hell. But yet God loved us that much that He redeemed us from that. We're talking about benefits here. What does the world offer? Offers nothing. Their benefits don't mean anything. It has no benefits. It expired. It's no good. It's useless. You ever gone to a place? And I remember going to a place one time and said, "Excuse me, do you?" And I was trying to find some new glasses. And I'm afraid I'm going to lose one of these. If you find one of these, you can mail it back to me. All right. And I tried to, and I asked this young lady. I said, "Do you accept this insurance?" I said, "No, I'm sorry, we don't." Okay, I went to another person, another place. "Do you accept this?" "No, we don't." No, it's like the world. Their benefits don't mean anything. It's worthless. It's no good. Can't use them. But when you look in your life and see what God has given you forgiveness. Folks, listen, we get saved. We get saved and God forgives you. Brother, He looks in your life and says, "Hey, you know what? I know what you did in your life. I know what you went through. I know what bothers you. I know it. Sometimes maybe you can't sleep and I know what bothers." So what it does. And He said, "I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that I've forgiven you of all of your sins. I know it's going to be hard for you to comprehend that. I know it's going to be hard for you to understand that. But I need you to understand that I forgive you because I love you. All the stuff that you've done in your life is forgiven because I care about you. Because I don't want you moving on in your life and you're gonna stop at one point and say, 'Man, I can't do this because I did this back here.' I don't want you to go through your life and come to a point in your life and say, 'Man, I'm nothing, man.' And maybe the devil will come and he'll remind you of what you've done. He's really good at that, isn't he? He's really good at you putting you down. And he always attacks me. He always often tells me, 'Hey, I know, remember what you did? I remember what I did. But also remember what God did for me too.' And I remember, he's always reminding me what I've done. You know, sometimes, yeah, it bothers me. Sometimes it bothers me. It bugs me. And I always tell our little girls right here, and I'm honest with my little girls. And I told them what sin does to me, what sin did to me in my life growing up. And how I grew up with no mom, no daddy. How I grew up pretty much on my own. And I ran to drugs, I ran to alcohol, and I did all these kind of stupid things. And how it affected my life, how it affected my thinking, how it affected my way of life. And we teach our girls to stay away from those things. And I say, "Here's what daddy's done. I don't want you to go through that. I don't want you to go through what I've gone through. I don't want you to ever pick up a bottle of beer. I don't want you ever put cigarettes in your mouth. I don't want you to ever do this. I don't want you to ever do that." And I tell them, we're warning them. But at the same time, it bugs me of what I've done in my life. But I have forgiveness. I mean, I don't dwell on the past. "Man, I did this and I did that and God can never use me and I can't do this." Just quit that. You're saved tonight. God's forgiven you. Just throw it away. You don't need to have it. Don't keep it in your back pocket. Don't dwell on that. Because it will bring you down. It will bring your family down. It will bring your confidence down. Remember that God's forgiven you of these sins. It's all under the blood. It's don't worry about it. It's gone. And that God redeemed you. I like what brother said. "Hey, I'm guilty of this." See, as well. Sometimes we need to tell our face that we're saved. Our face needs to be notified. "Yeah, I'm saved." No, we knock on someone's door. I go to Old Pass Baptist Church and you want to come to church?" "No. Is that what salvation is? I don't want that." What do you hear in the background? Football game. People screaming, yelling, shouting, having a good time. They hear that. They see that. What are they drawn to that? But yet, Christians who have all the benefits, who have a home in heaven, have a mansion in heaven, we have everlasting life, we have all these benefits that we don't even use, and yet we live life defeated. And yet we pout, we whine, we complain, and I wonder why no one wants to come to church. And I wonder why no one wants to listen to us, because they see that we're not joy, we're not happy, we're mad, we're bitter, we're angry, we're frustrated. "I go to church again. Man, don't they know any other songs? Yeah, I heard that verse. Oh, I have to study Acts 19. You know, this is reality. Back home, we're teaching our folks that you got something special. See, our people have bitter lives. Majority of them have bitter lives. They've been through a lot. we're telling them, we're teaching them that God has given them something special. God has given them something special. And our some of the families have been really picking up on that. And man, it's a blessing to see. And I call back home today, and our church is still open. Praise the Lord. And I was teasing them. I said, you guys vote me out today? And there was, no, Pastor, we decided to keep you. And I said, oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And I said, well, so what did you guys learn? And they told me what they heard today. And they sure enjoy having God in their life. You know, some of them, they don't have what you have. Some of them don't have a nice house like you have a nice house. They don't have a nice vehicle like you do. They don't have a nice family structure like you do. Some of them don't even have lights. But yet they come to church looking for something. They come to church searching for something. But here we are. It's not a big deal. Here we are. It's just a Bible. Here we are. We're not excited singing. We're not excited to come to church. No one's fighting for the front row seat. When I got saved, I came into these doors, came into church. I had on some old beat-up jeans, old shirt. Man, my hair was a mess. It's still a mess now. I haven't changed. And I came into the church, and I looked around, and I saw people. I saw people in a nice shirt. I saw people in a nice tie with some good families. I looked at them and said, man, their family's perfect, and their family's perfect. Man, I don't deserve to be here. I don't want to be here. And I go over here, my family, my wife and I, we sat in the back, way in the back seat. I said, man, I don't deserve to be here. I don't want to be here. It feels like no one doesn't like us. No one. It feels like I'm an outcast. It feels like no one's shaking my hand. And this is what Christianity is about. I thought they loved God. I thought they did this. And I was so scared. I wanted to leave. And instead, people started coming. They started shaking my hand. They started welcoming me. Started hearing the Word of God. And I started from the back seat. Brother and I started sitting here. Then pretty soon we started sitting here. Then pretty soon we started sitting here. Then pretty soon, brother, I saw, I couldn't wait to get to church. I said, man, I study Acts 19. I know all the questions. I know it was Paul. They didn't know the Holy Ghost. I know it. They came here. Next time my shirt was tucked in, my jeans were a little more cleaner. And I came here and I started to know some names a little bit. The hang of this. I said, man, this is nice. This is really nice. What is this? I don't know what this is. And I kept getting closer. We kept getting closer. You can ask my wife this. We kept getting closer. We were the first one in that church. We were sitting at the front row seat. And I was sitting like this. I got my Bible. I couldn't wait for the Word of God to be preached. I couldn't wait to open the Bible and to hear and listen to God, because it was real to me, because I know what God did for me. I realize what this Bible means. I realize what God wanted me to do, what this new life that I got, God had gave me. And I realized that this is so amazing. This is something different. I never experienced this before. I never felt like this before. I never felt like this. And I never seen my family so happy. I never smiled like this before. I belong to something now. And I know the song now. And there are times where we would pick a song, and I'd be like, over here, I want to sing a song. And I want to pick a song. Became part of the family. I became part of the church. And we were just friends in the front row seat, because salvation was real to me. I know what I was, and I know what God took me from. And I'm so glad that He forgave me of all of my sins. And I'm glad He healed my physical body. And I was about to die. I was about to go to a burning hell. All my organs were sick, and all my mouth and I was in a hospital and didn't know what was going to happen. The doctors told me that one more drink and you'd be dead. Yet I was not doing so well physically, not doing well spiritually. But yet God healed me of those things. God healed me of those things. And if not, we wouldn't have a Janiyah. We wouldn't have a Nevaeh. We wouldn't have this family. Realize what God's done. He healed me. He gave me redemption. And I like this. Go back to Psalms 103. He heals, He redeems. Look in verse 5. It says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles? Another benefit we give is provision. God supplies all of your needs. You know one thing that we lack? If you were to name one thing that we think everyone lacks, what would it be? What would you say? Being grateful. That's a good one. How about you, brother? Purpose, being grateful. Very good answers. You know one thing we lack that God gives is love. Love. But yet God gives us love. You wonder why you feel the way you feel? You feel helpless. You feel beat up. You feel useless. You feel down. You feel frustrated. You feel different ways. Why would that be? Because of lack of love. Realize how much God loves you. Realize what you've done to God, what you and I have done to God, but yet He still loves us. Yet He gives us provision. He gives us love. He gives us what we need. All He knows, we need love. Folks, we're human. We need it. The world doesn't produce that. We only get it from God. We get it from His book. We're the greatest love letter written to mankind. Saying, I love you. Man, there's some things in here that's going to help you and your family. I love you. Would you read it? And there's some things in here that's going to help you grow. There's some things going to help you see things clearly. Would you read the book? I want to give you things. He gives us provision. He gives us what we need. Not what we want, but what we need. He gives us fellowship, doesn't He? He gives us a church family. He gives you a wonderful pastor who loves you. He gives you one another. We're family. We're striving in the same direction with one accord. Iron sharpeneth iron. He knows what we need. Sometimes we forget about it. One thing I love about our people is, one thing, they love coffee. And we have coffee every Sunday. And we started the church, and one thing we noticed was, church is over. Folks, we love you. Glad you came today. And man, we'll see you, Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday. You're dismissed. They just sat there. They got up and they started talking to each other. And they started telling stories or laughing, cutting up, fellowshipping. They weren't so fast to get off and get out of here to do their thing. They wanted to stay. They wanted to fellowship. They wanted to see what's going on. Hey, how can I pray for you? You doing all right? Hey, we're so-and-so today. Have you heard from him? Hey, let's pray for him. Fellowship. God gives you what you need. God gave you a church. Be faithful to it. God gave us a Bible. Read it. God gave you family. Don't be so quick. Enjoy one another's fellowship. Enjoy one another's company. Iron sharpeneth iron. Folks, we have some wonderful friends back home. And we love to fellowship. The other night we had church, and on what time did we leave? 10:30? About 10:30 at night. What do? We just talk. We just fellowship. He loves me, I love him. God gave you a family. Don't take it for granted. God gave you this thing of provision, one benefit we have. You love one another, same direction. Love God. Why not? Enjoy one another. Grow together. Stay faithful together. Pray together. Fellowship together. No one's better than the other. We're all level at the foot of the cross. God gave us provision. One benefit we have is that God gives us what we need. And God is, He knows. He knows all that we need. We're talking about benefits. We're talking about counting your blessings one by one. We often get too busy with stuff, don't we? We get busy at work. We get busy with family. A lot of things going on. But we forget what God has done for all of us. You know, benefits, His benefits, all His benefits. If you're saved tonight, you have benefits. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, and provision. Folks, what's neat about this is never expires. What's neat about this is you can use Him anytime, never expires. And I pray that this was a help to you, and kind of just stay a little tune up, if we will. We get busy. Sometimes we overlook these things. We just get busy. That's just the bottom line. But can I just encourage you just to stop for a few minutes? And just think about what God has done in your life. And ask yourself this, am I missing something? And check your spiritual pulse. And why am I not singing out? Why am I not being faithful? What's going on? Why am I not knocking doors? What's going on? Just examine your life with the Lord. Examine your relationship with the Lord. You need it, I need it. That's why we have these benefits. Let us pray. Our Father, we conclude tonight. Father, we pray that this was a help to someone tonight. Lord, as we mentioned, life gets busy. Lord, we get overwhelmed with stuff in our life, with obligations, with schedules, and we forget about you. And Lord, may we never forget about these benefits that you give us. So many Christians get beat up by their sins. They quit church. They stop reading their Bible. They stop being faithful because they believe the lie that God can't forgive them. A lot of Christians are spiritually sick. That's why they don't fellowship. They don't talk. They don't pray. They stick to themselves. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed. But Father, you're able to heal us of these things. Because you gave us what we know as redemption. You redeemed us. Father, we thank you for giving us salvation. And Lord, may every individual in this place tonight, Father, take it seriously. That we would not take it for granted. Father, there are souls throughout the world who wish they have a place like this. Who pray and they pray and they pray for a church to be started. For the Bible to be preached. To belong to something. To have church family. To be able to call somebody, to be able to lean on someone's shoulder, to be able to help somebody, people craving this. But yet sometimes we take this for granted. we forget that we're redeemed. We live lives like we're defeated. Father, you give us provision. You give us all that we need. You gave us life. You gave us a church and a Bible and the Holy Spirit. You gave us a church family to belong to help one another. And Father, I pray we would not take these for granted. It just seems like in America, in the world, in society today, that churches, they're closing their doors left and right. That your favor is not on them anymore. They kicked you out. But Father, I pray that we would live a life that makes a difference. That we would live a life, a new creature. That we would enjoy what you've given us. And Father, I pray now as we start this invitation, Lord, to touch someone's heart.